la revista de la semana. Chile, una semana complicada para el gobierno del presidente Boric. En Chile, si bien este lunes se logró un acuerdo que puso fin a la huelga de los camioneros, conflicto que ya estaba teniendo efectos negativos tanto en la economía como en el abastecimiento a la población, el resto de la semana ha agregado nuevas dificultades al gobierno izquierdista. Es interesante hacer notar que el conflicto desatado por los camioneros tuvo mucho más un origen en factores ideológicos que en los meramente reivindicativos. En Chile es bien sabido que el gremio de dueños de camiones tiene una marcada posición de derecha. Históricamente, incluso, fue ese gremio el que en los años 70 desempeñó un rol central en crear condiciones para el derrocamiento del gobierno de Salvador Allende. Las ínfulas sediciosas parecen calar profundamente en el espíritu de gran parte de los camioneros chilenos. Dicho esto, había dos demandas centrales que el gobierno ha atendido, al menos parcialmente. El alto costo de los combustibles es, por cierto, un hecho que escapa al control del gobierno chileno y, en los hechos, al de cualquier otro gobierno. Los altos precios del petróleo han sido motivados, entre otras causas, por la guerra en Ucrania. La otra demanda tiene que ver con el tema de la seguridad, un hecho real, pero para combatirlo los recursos nunca van a ser suficientes. Asaltos y robos a camiones han sido especialmente frecuentes tanto en el norte como en la región de la Araucanía. En este último, a su vez, confluyen, por un lado, demandas legítimas del pueblo mapuche, pero por otro, una creciente presencia de bandas criminales, algunas de ellas ligadas a grupos mapuches. El gobierno se ha comprometido a mejorar las condiciones de seguridad del transporte por carretera, pero en esto simplemente se topa con los limitados recursos policiales. Sin embargo, el tema de la huelga de camioneros no fue el único dolor de cabeza para el gobierno de Gabriel Boric. Él mismo, durante la semana anterior, estuvo de visita por primera vez en su calidad de presidente en la conflictiva región de la Araucanía. Allí tuvo ocasión de encontrarse tanto con dirigentes del pueblo mapuche como con representantes de agricultores y otros sectores de la población. En esto no hay posibilidad de engaño, no habrá solución mientras no se aborde de manera integral el tema de las tierras usurpadas a los mapuches desde la expansión del territorio chileno en el siglo XIX. Pero, por otra parte, tampoco se puede desconocer que todo ese territorio ha sufrido también una profunda transformación. En términos reales, al igual como ha ocurrido aquí en Canadá y en otros países donde las poblaciones originarias fueron desplazadas, sobre esas tierras ancestrales mapuches, hoy están emplazadas ciudades, pueblos e instalaciones de producción agroindustrial. Esto hace difícil lo que pudiera ser una restitución de tierras. En muchos casos, habría que empezar a hablar de compensaciones económicas. A mediados de semana, una nueva complicación le llegó al gobierno cuando el nombre que había propuesto para el cargo de fiscal nacional no alcanzó el número suficiente de votos en el Senado, por lo que fue rechazado. De manera sorpresiva, entre los votos negativos, hubo no solo senadores de oposición, sino también algunos de gobierno, en tanto que algunos oficialistas no se hicieron presentes para votar. Al parecer había cuestionamientos al nombre propuesto, lo que indicaría una falla en la coordinación entre el gobierno y los parlamentarios de sus propias bancadas. Por último, una vez más, el tema de la nueva constitución se ha visto empantanado, básicamente porque la derecha no tiene interés alguno en abordar el tema. Luego del rechazo a la propuesta constitucional en el plebiscito del 4 de septiembre pasado, la derecha se ha sentido respaldada. Ella sabe que puede manejar la agenda política del país y, más aún, que puede torpedear todos los intentos de que se encuentre un acuerdo para redactar una nueva constitución, porque sabe que no va a recibir castigo electoral por ello. Así, puede darse el lujo de arrastrar los pies y llegar a fin de año sin que salga humo blanco, sobre el mecanismo para redactar la nueva constitución, porque en el fondo tampoco le interesa que haya una nueva constitución. Una semana complicada, pues, para el gobierno de Boric en lo que puede ser ya las últimas movidas políticas antes del mes de diciembre, dominado por la fiesta de fin de año y luego la entrada en el período estival austral. Una semana que de algún modo retrata lo que han sido estos casi 10 meses de gobierno, con interesantes intentos innovadores de parte del gobierno, por ejemplo en materia de pensiones, pero con una derecha jugando muy hábilmente sus cartas en un Congreso dividido y sin mayoría para las coaliciones gobernantes. The Weekly Review. Chile, a complicated week for the government of President Boric. In Chile, although an agreement was reached on Monday that put an end to the truckers' strike, a conflict that was already having negative effects both on the economy and on the supply of goods to the population, the rest of the week has added new difficulties for the leftist government. It is interesting to note that the conflict unleashed by the truckers had much more of an origin in ideological factors than in purely protest ones. In Chile, it is well known that the Truck Owners Union has a marked right-wing position. Historically, it was this union that, in the 1970s, played a central role in creating the conditions for the overthrow of Salvador Allende's government. Seditious impulses seem to be deeply embedded in the spirit of a large part of Chilean truckers. That said, there were two central demands that the government had at least partially addressed. The high fuel cost is certainly beyond the control of the Chilean government, and in fact, beyond the control of any government. High oil prices have been caused, among other factors, by the war in Ukraine. The other demand has to do with the security issue, a real fact, but to combat it, the resources will never be enough. Assaults and truck robberies have been especially frequent in the north of the country as well as in the Araucanía region. On the one hand, the legitimate demands of the Mapuche people converge with the growing presence of criminal gangs, some linked to Mapuche groups. The government has pledged to improve road transport security conditions, but is simply running up against limited police resources. However, the issue of the truckers' strike was not the only headache for Gabriel Boric's government. During the previous week, he himself visited, for the first time in his capacity as president, the conflictive Araucanía region, where he had the opportunity to meet with leaders of the Mapuche people as well as with representatives of farmers and other sectors of the population. There is no room for deception here. There will be no solution as long as the issue of the lands usurped from the Mapuche since the expansion of Chilean territory in the 19th century is not addressed in a comprehensive manner. In real terms, just as has happened here in Canada and in other countries where the original population were displaced, today cities, towns, and agro-industrial production facilities are located on these Mapuche ancestral lands. This makes difficult what could be a restitution of lands. In many cases, it will be necessary to start talking about economic compensations instead. In the middle of the week, a new complication came to the government when the name it had proposed for the position of national prosecutor did not reach a sufficient number of votes in the Senate, so it was rejected. Surprisingly, among the negative votes, there were not only opposition senators, but also some government senators, while some pro-government senators were not present to vote. Apparently, there were questions about the proposed name, which will indicate a failure in the coordination between the government and the parliamentarians on their own benches. Finally, once again, the new constitution has been bogged down because the right wing has no interest in addressing the issue. After the rejection of the constitutional proposal in the plebiscite of last September 4th, the right wing has felt supported. It knows that it can manage the political agenda of the country and, even more, that it can torpedo all attempts to find an agreement to draft a new constitution because it knows that it will not receive electoral punishment for it. Thus, it can afford to drag its feet and reach the end of the year without any white smoke coming out about the mechanism to draft a new constitution because, deep down, it is not interested in having a new constitution either. In what may already be the last political moves before the month of December, a complicated week for Boric's government dominated by the end-of-the-year celebrations and then the entry into the southern summer period, a week that somehow portrays what these almost 10 months of government have been, with interesting innovative attempts by the government, for example, on pensions, but with the right wing playing its cards very skillfully and a divided Congress and without a majority for the governing coalitions. Good day.
Allá por Belo Horizonte, en un estadio cerrado, juegan los seleccionados de la sierra y los montes de un lado, el rinoceronte, un mono y un avestruz, un perro, un pato, un ñandú y los cinco delanteros, un lagarto, un burro, un tero, un caballo y un tatú. Del otro bando la urraca, un elefante y un ciervo, de jalves un gato, un cuervo y de centro jas la vaca. Las cinco piezas que atacan son un gallo, una pantera, una tortuga, guateras y un loro que es como flecha y allá en la punta derecha han puesto una chancha overa. Señoras y señores, en el relato del partido de esta tarde con ustedes, el fiero Banti. Comienza el partido, señores, mueve la pelota al gallo que es un huevo de avestruz. Este la pasa al tatú pero intercepta al caballo. Con la rapidez del rayo te la tira a un costado. Como está bien colocado, está gritando lagarto. Ahora sé porque lo parto, pero tira de viado. Toma el perro, da la chancha. Esta le hace un pase al ciervo, pero se interpone el cuervo que vuela al ras de la cancha. Se produce una avalancha, todo el mundo se alborota. La culpa de esa gaviota que gritó del talú. Que lo saquen al tatú, claro, si no agarra una pelota. Viene el centro, alto y ceñido. Toma de voleo el perro. Pero tiene miedo al fierro y se pasa los ladridos. El juego está interrumpido. Esta que explota la hinchada. El burro, flor de patada, le dio en la panza al caballo. Quiso cacarear el gallo, pero el juez no cobró nada. Cuando arremetía al pato, detiene la carga el loro. Pa' cobrarle faula al toro en la persona del gato. Suena de nuevo el silbato. Viene el huevo de avestruz. Salta el perro y el ñandú. Y el mono con una piola lo tiene atado de la cola por si entra a juego el tatú. Domina el huevo la chancha que tira abajo y rasante. Pero atento el elefante saca al medio de la cancha. La tortuga se la plancha, entonces toma la vaca. Esta driblea, se amaca, le hace un pase a la pantera. Esta tira de primero por ataja bien la urraca. Se arma el lío un poco rato entre el caballo y la chancha. Porque este de atrás le engancha. Ella le dijo animal. El mono gritó penal y el juez lo echó de la cancha. Se ha entrompado el elefante y se ha vuelto pura arruga. Por causa de la tortuga que no va para adelante, hay un chajá vigilante que nervioso se pasea. Después se armó otra pelea porque un grillo del vestuario dijo que no es partidario de tácticas europeas. Ya se juega en el descuento, el score 0-0, toma el huevo el terutero que arremete como viento. En ese mismo momento se produce un caso extraño, la urraca sufre un engaño, el perro se ha puesto malo, la culpa es del picapalo que le comió el travesaño. En eso grita la chancha desde el extremo derecho, que si no le dan los frechos, se retira de la cancha. Vuelve otra vez la avalancha, entra Unión enfurecido, queda el estadio vacío, cada bicho pasa agujero, el score es 0-0 y así terminó el partido.
Y ahora vamos al fichero latino de hoy, 4 de diciembre. Entre los anuncios de interés público tenemos dosis de refuerzo de la vacuna contra el COVID-19. Están abiertas las inscripciones para vacunarse con la tercera vacuna de refuerzo o quinta dosis para aquellos adultos mayores de 18 años. Consultar y reservar en línea en el sitio web Clic Santé, ya sea en francés o en inglés.
En cuanto a los eventos, Posada Navideña, organizada por el grupo de danzas mexicanas Naxieli, hoy domingo 4 de diciembre desde las 14 horas, en el local de la iglesia Notre Dame de Lourdes, ubicada en el 630 de la Cuarta Avenida en Verdun. La entrada es de $5, con espectáculo de danza folclórica, venta de comida típica, feria artesanal y juegos.
Gran marcha del por la biodiversidad. Festejamos la naturaleza y los derechos humanos. Esto es el sábado 10 de diciembre a las 13 horas a los pies del Monumento Cartier en el Montreal. Con motivo de la COP15, la Conferencia Mundial de la ONU sobre la Biodiversidad, que se celebra en Montreal del 7 al 19 de diciembre. La Gran Marcha por la Biodiversidad está organizada por el colectivo de la Sociedad Civil de Quebec para la COP15, que agrupa a más de 67 organizaciones que se movilizan por la protección de la biodiversidad en el contexto de la COP15, junto asimismo con aliados locales e internacionales.
Las publicaciones, las ediciones en francés e inglés del libro Presencia chilena en la Belle Provence, Presence chilienne dans la Belle Provence, Chilean Presence in la Belle Provence, se hallan a la venta en la librería de la Université de Montréal en el 3200 de Jean Brion, en la librería Bertrand en el 430 Saint-Jean, Viejo Montreal, en el internet en la cadena Renobre, en librería Argos en el 1841A, Saint-Catherine Oeste, y en la librería Paragraph en el 2220 McGill College Avenue. El precio es de $10 más impuesto.
El tiempo para hoy, según la Oficina Meteorológica Nacional de Canadá, un 60% de posibilidades de nieve ligera con una temperatura máxima de menos 2 grados. Para esta noche, nieve ligera con una mínima de menos 5 grados.
Y recuerde que si usted o su organismo comunitario tiene alguna información que desean difundir en el fichero latino, comuníquese con nosotros a Latin Time a nuestra dirección electrónica laplaza.info@gmail.com.
O también puede enviarnos un mensaje en Facebook, vaya a www.facebook.com/tiempolatino.latintime. Y de paso, denos un like. Nuestra página Facebook también se actualiza ahora diariamente con noticias y reportajes sobre lo que ocurre en América Latina y el mundo. Síganos en Facebook.
Y Tiempo Latino es escuchado en América Latina y en todo el mundo a través del Internet. Entre al sitio de CKUT en la siguiente dirección, www.ckut.ca.
Y usted puede acceder también a nuestro programa en cualquier otro horario simplemente yendo al archivo de CKUT en el sitio web ya indicado y presionando Latin Time.
Siempre oreja adentro, con afán risueño. de enmendar lo roto. Siempre apartando piedras de aquí, basura de allá, haciendo labor. Siempre va esta personita feliz, trocando lo sucio en oro. Siempre llega hasta el salón principal, donde está el motor que mueve la luz. Y siempre allí hace su tarea mejor el reparador de sueños, el reparador de sueños. Hasta la persona, hasta todo el pueblo, hasta el universo. Siempre llega el enanito y desde esa hora se acaba el silencio. Y aparece el trino. Siempre apartando piedras de aquí, basura de allá, haciendo labor. Siempre va esta personita feliz, trocando lo sucio en oro. Siempre llega hasta el salón principal, donde está el motor que mueve la luz. Y siempre allí hace su tarea mejor el reparador de sueños, el reparador de sueños.
Esto ha sido todo por hoy. Tiempo Latino es una producción del Taller Latinoamericano de Comunicaciones.
Latin Time is a Latin American Communications Workshop production.
Estuvimos hoy con ustedes.
Our team today.
Daniel Lara y Sergio Martínez en las voces.
Sergio Martínez and Daniel Lara at the mics.
Y Rommel Cajavilca en la producción técnica, la compaginación y la selección musical.
And Rommel Cajavilca in the technical production, edition and music selection.
Manténgase en la sintonía de CKUT, nuestro próximo programa, The International Radio Report.
Stay tuned to CKUT, next, The International Radio Report.
Tengan todos ustedes un feliz domingo.
Have a happy Sunday.
Hi, I'm Mickey Delmage of Sherwood Park, Alberta. Hear the latest information from the world of radio, locally and internationally, each week on the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal and online at ckut.ca.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the International Radio Report for Sunday, December the 4th, 2022. My name's Sheldon. I am here with Gilles and also a guest sitting in today. We have Mickey Delmage from Sherwood Park, Alberta, sitting in with us today. We'll get to him shortly. We thank you for tuning in. We're here with 30 minutes of news and information from the world of radio. You can reach us by email, radioreport@yahoo.com. We are live streaming and archived at cKUT.ca. Our Facebook group is International Radio Report. We have two new members. We welcome Ron and Lee this week, bringing us to 865 members. And our YouTube channel, where you can listen to our show at your leisure, the current show or previous shows, youtube.com/@IRR. And we have 740 subscribers there. So you can join either one of those should you wish to. We have a lot of stories bouncing around the planet here today, so we'll get going with things right away. And the first one is actually off the planet. It is up in space. And it's a quick update from Sirius XM via Radio World. Sirius XM commissions a pair of new satellites. Sirius XM has ordered two satellites to support its services. SXM 11 and 12 will be built and delivered by Maxar Technologies, its longtime provider, which currently is working on SXM 9 and 10 for the company. The geostationary birds will be twin high-power digital audio radio satellites built on Maxar's proven 1300-class platform at the company's manufacturing facilities in Palo Alto and San Jose, California, the two companies said in an announcement. SXM 8 went into service last year. The company plans to launch 9 in 2024 and then one satellite per year for the next 3 years. The relationship with Maxar goes back to the first generation of Sirius satellites in 2000, 8 years before the merger of XM Satellite and Sirius. So I guess they will just replace each other as they go along. Maybe they'll, I guess the oldest ones are gone by now.
Well, actually what happens is they decommission the satellites. So because in geosynchronous orbit, they're going to stay there forever pretty much. So what happens is they do what they call a parking orbit. They move the satellite into an orbit where it now will be decommissioned and is going to stay there forever. And the other ones actually take over after that as they move on.
Okay. Well, anyways, those will be coming online. And I guess that's a nice deal that company has with Sirius XM to put those new birds up in the sky.
Definitely. So apparently radio is still the best way to reach Hispanic audience. And this is by Matthew Keyes of Radio Inc. A new report from Nielsen reveals AM and FM broadcast radio is the most viable way to reach U.S. Hispanic audiences. The study, released by Nielsen on Wednesday, showed 97% of all Latinos aged 18 and over listened to AM and FM radio on a monthly basis, compared to 59% of all streaming music services. Beyond being a highly efficient medium for building broad reach, AM/FM radio has the unique ability to reach Hispanic adults during prime hours of the day and while listeners are away from home and closest to retail. A spokesperson for Nielsen said, additionally, radio offers listening experiences that are plugged into local communities with music and talk programming that is based on local culture, tastes, and lived experiences. In fact, more than half, 54%, of Latino adults agree that their favorite radio station helps them stay connected to their community. The same study found that podcast consumption has increased with Hispanics over the last 2 years, with 60% of those surveyed saying they listen to podcasts more often. The top three podcast genres are popular with Hispanics were comedy, news, and education, according to the Nielsen report. So it's nice to see that radio plays a key role in actually helping also communities, and it's nice to see that it still has a lot of importance.
I like the fact that they indicate that they're listening to AM and FM radio.
Yeah.
I think any of us at DX, the medium wave band, we are seeing that a lot of stations are converting over to ethnic radio. Mickey, I think you have a couple ethnic stations out in the Edmonton area.
That we do. We have East Indian one that recently came on the air on 580. And then there's the multi-language one on FM. It's kind of narrowed its space to more East Indian also.
Yeah, we're seeing that. We've got some of those in Ontario and here in Montreal as well. I know in Montreal we've got several different. We've got an Arabic station that's on AM, a low powered one on 1450. Hispanic. Well, we have some programming. Our neighbors before us on CKUT, the Latin Times program has been with the station here for almost as long as we have, and they have quite a good audience to their program as well. So I think these stations are important for those ethnic communities. It's nice to see that they're actually using conventional radio to listen to those programs. Next, we want to thank one of our listeners, Paul Steckler, who is out in California, and he passed along this story to us from the Los Angeles Daily News by Richard Wagner. Leo Laporte, KFI's The Tech Guy, will retire from radio in December. Leo Laporte, The Tech Guy, heard locally on KFI 640 AM, Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., announced his retirement from radio effective in December. His last show will air on December the 18th. Technically, it wasn't Laporte who announced the retirement. Comedian Steve Martin called in to make the announcement for him during the November 19th edition of the program. Laporte retires after nearly 50 years on the air, the last 19 of which were spent as the tech guy, giving advice and troubleshooting support to listeners on all things tech. Replacing Laporte will be Rich DeMuro, who will bring his podcast and KTLA-TV morning news segment to the radio airwaves. Rich on Tech will replace the Tech Guy starting January the 7th. The Best of Tech Guy program will air on KFI until then. So we thank Paul for passing that story along to us. He thought that many of our listeners might not know anything about this guy, and he wasn't sure we'd actually want to put it on the show. But Gilles, you surprised me. You know all about Leo Laporte.
I'm a big fan of Leo Laporte. I actually follow him every week. There's different shows on his Twit network on the net where he has video and audio. And I've actually listened to the Tech Guy a long, long time ago. Funny, interesting little history about Leo Laporte is that before he was on the radio doing this type of show, he actually was also a radio DJ playing music in his younger years. And one of the anecdotes that he has that he talks about regularly is how somebody one day told him, well, we got a job for you, but it's not going to be on TV because you got a radio face.
So, <Don't we> all?
Yeah.
All right. Well, good. I'm sure Paul will be surprised that there is a connection to Leo Laporte and to you, Gilles. I have to admit I had not heard of this guy, but Gilles, you're a tech guy. I'm not. Yeah. So it kind of explains it all, yeah. I guess.
And I can say that Leo Laporte is a little bit why I'm doing YouTube live shows also, because I kind of admire his network and the podcasts and the shows that he does, kind of inspired me in doing the same thing a little bit.
I think that's kind of like Glenn Hauser inspiring us to do this type of radio program. Yep.
So what's happening with our sun? Well, this week, first of all, conditions were up and down. Solar wind coming from the a coronal hole that opened up. And so we went into geomagnetic storm level a couple of times. So conditions were not that great on the radio most days. But what is to be probably the most important effect that's going to happen this week, the impact of a huge sunspot group that is rotating into view, AR3153, is really, really a huge, but very stable right now, very stable sunspot. But it's going to rise the solar flux probably and help us get a little more out of the radio. Conditions will be quiet for now, no coronal holes, so solar wind should quiet down. And maybe with that big sunspot, conditions can improve. Solar flux has been actually rising since the appearance of that spot. Sunspot number is 49, solar flux 119. And, conditions hopefully are going to be good, but there's only one way to know, is that you got to turn on a radio and listen.
This is Janice of Dorval. The International Radio Report presents 30 minutes of news, information, and commentary on developments in the world of radio every Sunday morning at 10:30 on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal and online at ckut.ca.
Now, some of you know that we've talked to Mickey in the past. He's up a lot further north than we are here in Montreal. Yep. So you're closer to things going on up around the polar regions. How's propagation been out your way over the last week or so?
Oh, it's been pretty unsettled. It certainly, I think, started just before the CQ worldwide contest last weekend, and it's been up and down all week. I was listening to or trying to make contact with a fellow on the amateur bands in Oman the other day, and he was beaming straight over the pole, and I was also looking over the pole, and he came in really booming into Ohio for about 3 minutes, and then he just disappeared. And so that's how quick things can change. It can be like 5-9 plus to nothing. And as you know, you're a nice mild in Montreal this weekend, and out west we are in the deep freeze. It's you know, minus 30 all week here, and if you've probably seen on the news in Vancouver, they had a few inches of snow that caused chaos for drivers.
Yeah, they're not used to that sort of thing out there. Anyways, so yeah, that's good that you mentioned the over-the-pole signals, because a lot of people wonder, you know, why we give this solar reports and talk about the sun and what have you. It certainly has a big effect on what we do as radio listeners.
Yep, that's for sure. And for us that are a little further north, any little hiccup on the sun affects us much more than it does for you guys down in southern Canada.
Okay, Gilles, we've got a story about people actually listening to the radio. There's some people out there who just say nobody listens to the radio anymore. Well, pay attention.
So the U.S. Agency for Global Media reports audience growth, and this is via Radio World. The U.S. Agency for Global Media says its programming reached 410 million people in fiscal 2022. The audience grew by 16 million adults in the face of a global environment where autocratic regimes are increasingly impeding access to independent media or criminalizing its consumption. The agency provided the information in a performance update to Congress this month. CEO Amanda Bennett said the growth proves what we've long known, that people will go to great lengths to seek out the truth. USAGM's network are the Voice of America, Radio Fury Europe, Radio Liberty, the Office of Cuba Broadcasting, Radio Free Asia, and the Middle East Broadcasting Networks. The agency said it saw notable increases in Nigeria and Latin America, as well as in countries of national security interest, including Afghanistan, Russia, and Iran. A sixth USAGM entity, the Open Technology Fund, provides tools to help audiences overcome internet restrictions and surveillance. In fiscal year 2022, visits to a USAGM network's websites through OTF-supported anti-censorship technologies almost doubled to more than 13 million per week. So this is nice to see that they are having more audience. I think it shows one thing. There's a lot of people around this planet that are in need of good news and good reporting, and they are searching everywhere they can, and the radio is part of it.
Yeah, unfortunately, though, our next story leads into this audience reaching out for news, and some people who don't want those people to access the information. And that's the case we have here with our next story. And this comes from Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty's Radio Azadi. The RFERL condemns cutoff of its Radio Azadi broadcasts in 13 Afghan cities. RFERL has condemned a decision by the Taliban-led government in Afghanistan to cut off its broadcasts in 13 Afghan cities and said it will continue to broadcast from outside the country despite the move. The media outlet said on December the 1st that broadcasts by RFERL's Radio Azadi, as it is known in the country, have been a staple of everyday life in Afghanistan and are commonly heard in public settings from marketplaces to taxis. Radio Azadi, formerly Radio Free Afghanistan, is the Afghan branch of the U.S. government's Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty external broadcast services. Azadi is a lifeline for tens of millions of Afghans, making the Taliban's decision all that more tragic, said RFERL President and CEO Jamie Fly in a news release. RFERL will not change its content to accommodate the Taliban, Fly said, and the operation will expand options to reach its audience through other platforms, according to the news release. We know from experience that our audiences make great effort to find us, Fly said. The truth cannot be completely suppressed. Abdul Haq Hamad, an official at the Taliban-led government's information ministry, said on Twitter earlier on December the 1st that broadcasts by U.S.-funded media outlets on FM radio had been cut off in the 13 cities. The Voice of America said its broadcasts had also been cut off. Hamad cited complaints about the broadcast but provided no details. He also claimed non-compliance with journalistic principles and one-sided broadcasts on the part of the U.S.-funded independent media outlets. RFERL said in a recent survey commissioned by the U.S. Agency for Global Media that half of Afghan adults surveyed used Azadi content weekly. Despite significant pressure from the Taliban, the RFERL has continued to provide the coverage of stories suppressed by the state media on topics such as violent extremism, the treatment of women and girls, and the LGBT community. Azadi has also informed Afghans about public health and exposed corruption, among other things. Azadi and VOA in Afghanistan have been broadcasting 24 hours a day on FM in some major cities for several years. According to free media advocacy groups, since the Taliban reclaimed power in Afghanistan in August 2021, Kabul has put pressure on independent media outlets. Many journalists have been harassed or imprisoned, and female media workers have been banned from working. Due to these pressures and economic problems, dozens of private television, radio, and print media have stopped their operations in Afghanistan, putting hundreds of journalists and media workers out of work.
Shows that when the government doesn't want anyone to know what's happening, really, well, you shut down the voices that give the news. And they are mentioning that they will want to broadcast from outside the country, which means using probably medium wave, AM radio, and shortwave to help out here.
Radio still proves that it's going to get through to people.
Absolutely. So a study planned for the radio transmission center used for Pearl Harbor code via the Asahi Shimbun. The city government here plans to study and preserve the former Sasebo Wireless Telegraphy Station, a century-old facility built by the Imperial Japanese Navy. The station was constructed after the Navy learned about the importance of radio communications during the 1904-1905 Russian-Japanese War. Climb Mount Nitaka 1208. The famed code used to initiate Japan's attack on Pearl Harbor in 1941 is believed to have been transmitted through this station, which is commonly called the Hario Radio Transmission Center. The top secret phrase signaled the launch of the attack on the U.S. Navy's Pacific Fleet, its bases, and other facilities in Hawaii on December 8, Japan time. The Sasebo City government included about 20 million yen, that's $136,000, in supplementary budgets submitted to the city assembly in September for the first full-scale study into the station starting by the end of March. The municipality intends to continue spending on the project until March 2026 to examine the condition of the station, its quake resistance strength, its materials, and other details. We want to conduct a thorough inspection to assess the current status of the facility and how much it has deteriorated before proceeding to the next phase of repair and reinforcement, a city official said. The Navy spent a estimated 1.55 million yen, which amounts to 176 million at the current values, to build the station between 1918 and 1922 in the southwestern part of the city, separating Sasebo Bay and Omura Bay. It was one of Japan's first concrete structures that brought together cutting-edge civil engineering and radio communication technologies of the time. After World War II, the Japan Coast Guard and the Maritime Self-Defense Force used the station until 1997. In 2013, the central government designated the station as an important cultural property, calling it a modernization heritage symbolizing Japan's technological development. It consists of three 136-meter reinforced concrete towers. The diameter of each tower base is about 12 meters. The towers form an equilateral triangle, 300 meters per side, with a communication facility referred to as the telegraph room built in the center. Each tower costs an estimated 300,000 yen, $35 million at the current value, to build. The station was mainly used for communications with Navy units deployed to China, Southeast Asia, and the South Pacific Ocean. Well, sounds definitely like a historical radio site that should be maintained. And it's fun to see that they're actually spending money to reinforce and help it continue to be, keep our memory alive of radio events of the past also at the same time.
Yeah, I'd not heard of this station before, and I'm quite amazed that they were looking at the importance of radio communications in 1904 and 1905 in Japan. It's really quite remarkable that this station, was decided to be built way back then, and that it's still standing. I mean, there's pictures in this article. We'll put a link up to it, and you can see the station. It's up on a high peak sort of thing. And I had never read anything about that special message that was sent out from that station to signal the attacks on the U.S. fleet and Pearl Harbor, etc. So quite an interesting story, and the radio aspect of it certainly interesting. I'm glad to see that they are looking at restoring it and making sure that it's sound and earthquake proof as well. Yeah. Something you need to do in Japan, I guess, that maybe they didn't think about way back then.
Really cool. We had the largest earthquake here in Alberta a couple of days ago.
Yeah, I heard about that too. That was pretty strange. We had a mild one in Montreal here as well. So yeah, the earth is showing off its strength. And now the volcano in Hawaii that's erupted in the last week or so, that was dormant for so long. So yeah, strange things are happening out there.
What amazes me about that article we just read is the fact that they actually used it. The Maritime Self-Defense Force used it until 1997. Not that long ago, actually.
Yeah, I guess we could have, that would have been some good DX to try and pick up signals from that station over there in Japan. Not an easy place for us to hear in North America, though, direct. But you never know with shortwave signals.
Oh, yeah.
That's amazing how far they can go.
So we have upcoming ham radio contests.
Yeah, we'll wrap up the show as usual with the list of the upcoming events. Okay, coming up this weekend, we have, first off, the ARRL's 10-meter contest. It's 0-100 Zulu December 10th to 2359 Zulu December 11th, organized by the American Radio Relay League. The objective is for amateurs worldwide to exchange QSO information with as many stations as possible on the 10-meter band. So it is a 10-meter band contest, but both phone and CW for this one.
There's the Straight Key Century Club Weekend Sprintathon, 1200 Zulu December 10th to 2359 Zulu December 11th. It's that time again for Santa and staff to get ready for the 2022 holidays. There will be two opportunities for bonus points during this weekend Sprintathon. Following members' stations are worth 5 bonus points each. First bonus points option, the Reindeer, Santa, and Scrooge will be bonus stations this month. Second bonus points option, there are also worldwide SKCC ham radio elves. So this is going to be interesting to see this activity going on here with Christmas in its bonus points in it. Bands 160 through 6 meters. It is CW only.
Yeah, what's interesting, I was reading the full details, and they have various ham stations assigned the names of the elves and the names of the reindeer. So if you make contact with any of those stations, you get the bonus points. So they've sort of thrown in a whole Christmas element into that. So if you look up the link that we'll post, you'll see where what stations refer to the different elves and the reindeer and Santa and all that stuff. It's kind of a neat little twist on things.
Yep.
Finally, we have the QRP ARCI Holiday Spirits Homebrew Sprint, 2000 to 2300 Zulu, December the 11th. It's organized by the QRP Amateur Radio Club International. It's a popular short contest which encourages homebrewers to put their rigs on the air. Bonus points for homebrew receivers, transmitters, and transceivers. It's 160 through 10 meters, and it's CW only. So that's not alcohol home brewers. That's, but it could be, especially at this time of the year. But it's actually people who build their own equipment who they're pushing to get on the air and activate that equipment. So that's what home brewers are all about.
So we are out of time.
We are. Mickey, thanks for sitting in with us here today. And maybe you want to pass along season's greetings to our listeners from out west.
For sure. Yep. I hope everybody has a safe and happy, very Merry Christmas, and looking forward to the new year coming up. It's been an amazing year this past year, how fast it went and all the activities we had for our radio club. And it's been just awesome. So Merry Christmas, everyone.
Thanks, Mick. We do have one piece of breaking news that we just received today as we're recording from Alan Rowe in Teddington, UK. It looks like we may have a new target to listen to on shortwave. From the WRMI Facebook page, WRMI begins relays of The Voice of Indonesia. WRMI has begun testing relays of the daily English language program of The Voice of Indonesia. The one-hour program can currently be heard at 800 to 900 hours UTC on 7780 kilohertz. While beamed to Central America, this frequency can often be heard well in North America, Hawaii, and Oceania at that hour. Reception reports from listeners would be most welcome. It's possible that these relays could be expanded in the future to additional times and frequencies, as well as additional languages, including Spanish.
We want to have very more good of these relays.
They're great. Voice of Indonesia was a pretty rare target on a tough target on shortwave when they were broadcasting directly.
But interesting programming when we could get them out here on 3325 most recently, but even when they were up in the 25 meter band and that, they have great programming.
Very good. So we'll have more on that in the weeks ahead, especially if they decide to add some additional broadcast times and frequencies. So thanks to Alan Rowe for passing that piece of information along.
Cool.
So that will do it for us today. We thank you for tuning in. Catch us in the weeks ahead as we provide you with some holiday seasonal programming information that will be coming up here on CKUT and other stations as well around the world. That is it for today. Thank you for tuning in to the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. Have a great week, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This is the voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Hello, listeners in Asia, the Pacific area, Europe. Thank you.